All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Here we are, too, baby. Week two. What's it? Episode 62 / week two of the big Q.
Yeah. The big quarantine. Hey, you can't spell quarantine without U-R-A-Q-T. How about that? It's my new quarantine pickup line.
Did you read that meme with all the quarantine pickup lines?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a whole
yeah.
Wait, did you write it?
I wish I had. What is it? If COVID doesn't take you out, can I? That's my other one.
You don't really need pickup lines because you just got, hey, girl.
Hey, girl. It's so effective.
And they come running.
My man.
All right, so we got a little situation here this week.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, we're short on some and long on others.
Right.
So we're zero on trailers, although I have one that I'm going to mention that has something to do with HBO.
Okay.
And we're light on the news.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of movies to talk about.
Yeah.
Including Predestination.
Yes.
Which I look forward to next week, all week, to talk to you about it.
Hey, can we start off with the biggest news of the week?
Talk to me.
Yeah. Big happy birthday to Drew Schaefer.
Happy birthday, Drew.
Today's the day, eh?
Yeah, you know, it's a little disappointing because, you know, Bob and I had a big party planned. We got together with his wife and coordinated a big shindig, picnic. You know, we had all these people. We had some people from the studios. We're going to fly in. All the Penn Cinema staff were going to be there. Everybody was going to be there.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know,
you got his favorite band to come too, right? Didn't I hear that?
Who?
His favorite band was going to be there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sent him a text. That's probably just as nice.
Oh, man. Maybe next year.
You know, I don't know if you know this about Drew, but he has an interesting birthday.
Oh, yeah?
Every year since I've known him,
it's been the same day.
He's shared his birthday. He's had it on the same day ever since I've known him.
Whoa.
And he has shared that day with a fellow member of Penn Cinema History. She's no longer at the theater, but esteemed former general manager Lori Kirkner, it's also her birthday. So big shout out to Lori and Drew, who told me last year that, yeah, they are in fact going to share the same birthday again this year. And probably because of the Rona, they're going to share it again next year too.
It's just messing up everything.
I know. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Hey, let's get into this less exciting news here.
All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, the first one is there's not much to say because we know sort of there's a lot of this going around, but the Batman is officially shut down as per Matt Reeves.
Right.
And there was some talk about last week, we talked about production being on hold for a lot of different titles, and we talked about Minions not being able to get finished. And I know you have some news about stuff that's still progressing with like pre-production and stuff like that. But yeah, so I guess the work on the Batman is done.
Yeah, for now, I guess. I mean, everything's on the downside. I don't know what the big deal is.
Yeah, I guess it was just because it was official.
Yeah.
Right.
But so what's this here? Sony Pictures Classics, the co-president, Tom Bernard, has no interest in looking into the pay VOD
premium
stuff? Premium VOD. PVOD.
PVOD, as the cool kids call it.
Oh, whoa. I didn't realize.
The premium video on demand. So this is an interesting thing. And this segues right into our next little it's not really news, but it's a hypothetical question that I read an article about, and I'll pose it here for you and for our listeners. Premium video on demand, which, before we get into it, Sony Pictures Classics is different from Sony. So okay. Sony is putting their titles out, their premium titles out, video on demand. Sony Pictures Classics is saying, no, bro, we're not doing that. We're waiting till we can get to the theaters. That's not how we're doing it, blah, blah, blah. And then they have some stuff to say about theaters and how we should run things, which is all very well and good. But what's interesting is premium video on demand is like, for example, right before the theater got shut down, we had Onward. We had I Still Believe. We had The Hunt. We had a few of these titles that were in the theater. And now you can rent them at home for $19. So basically what Corona did was gave the studios cover to do what they wanted to do, but we were able to sort of hold them off because they knew that they'd make a ton less money. So the question that everybody's asking is this a milestone week? So the week of March 27th or the week of March 20th, wherever you want to start counting, was this the week where there was the invention of a new chart? So in other words, there's an existing chart of box office every week, box office grosses that assumes theatrical run. Is this now the beginning of where we can start having premium on demand, where studios begin experimenting with having theaters co-concurrently?
Is that a word?
Co-concurrently available both at the theater and also at home. And I mean, clearly this pandemic has brought to light sort of the ultimate question. My position on it has not changed. My position has always been based, of course, you know, the movie lover in me, you know, gets on my soapbox and talks about the theatrical experience, but I also always talk about the studios make more money when it's in the theaters. Like, there's just no two ways about it. So my hope is that this experience that the studios have with releasing their product online sort of backs up my position, my thought, my whatever, however you want to say that. Does it validate my position? And that's what I'm hopeful for. And of course, the risk is if I'm wrong, which
when's that ever happened?
That never happens. Yeah. The king of big bold statements that he never goes back on. If I'm wrong, then yeah, then this will be the beginning of some bad news for the theater business.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, it's, to me, there's no scenario where it's the end of the theater business. It's just, you know, another pain in the ass that you got to deal with.
Yeah. But is it me, or does PVOD sound like an insult? What are you, some sort of PVOD? Come on.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's like four-walling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we talked about the last few weeks. Like, if your movie's not good enough to warrant a box office release, a theatrical release, then you can make it premium video on demand, and it'll make a couple bucks. But I think the big, good quality movies will always go through theaters.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see.
I think it's interesting because Sony Pictures Classics is more of the indie, like, less, if I'm guessing right, it's more of like the indie, less like high mainstream stuff. Am I correct?
You're absolutely right. I wish that statement that came from Sony Pictures Classics, I wish it had come from one of the majors,
right,
like Warner Brothers or Disney or Universal or somebody, because in a way it's a little bit easier for, I don't want to call them artsy, but it's a little bit easier for somebody like Sony Pictures Classics to, you know, resist the video on demand stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little easier for them, I think. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that?
No, yeah, I'm definitely following you on that, for sure, for sure.
So, all right, so that's enough of the PVOD. Let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
And I know you've still been working.
Right.
So your entertainment routine is not totally different. Mine has been totally different. My family and I have been watching tons of movies. We have not yet watched a movie that we had to pay $20 for.
Yeah, the only way that I would is if it was, I don't know, all of it stuff that either we, you know, we had kind of seen or covered already, you
right.
know, but it,
Well, here's an example, and I was going to get into this in the listener's notes.
Yeah.
But I believe Chris Hall Productions, is he the guy that suggested we watch Cats?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chris Hall said we should watch Cats and then review it because we've been having so much fun making fun of it. And that's all well and good. And I thought, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to watch it and talk about it and everything. Kayla saw Cats when it was in the theater. And I said to the fam, I was like, oh, I'm going to watch Cats this week. And Kayla, who had already seen it, was like, I'll watch it with you if I'm, you know, if I'm not doing anything else. And Marley and Amy were like, nah, we're good. But I like went on my whatever Fire Stick or Apple TV or whatever I was in front of, and it was like $19.99 or $14.99 or something, and I was like, I'm not paying $15 to watch a movie and make fun of, like,
yeah.
Like, if I'm just gonna make fun of it. So I don't know, like, I'd be curious to hear what our listeners are doing. Like, are there any movies available at home now that either you didn't see in the theater or you want to see it again in the theater that you're now willing to pay $20 at home or $14.99 or whatever the number is?
Well, here's the opposite side of that I've somewhat come up against. Something that I'm coming up against or seeing that's kind of annoying, even though it's not really affected me yet, is things like CBS All Access, right? I don't want to subscribe to CBS All Access, but I want to watch Star Trek. So I've got a friend who subscribed just to watch Picard, and he was nice enough to share so that I could as well, right?
Now, just the good old boys.
Yeah, just the good old boys. So now,
outside the law, David Malton.
So here's the thing, though. Picard just went up for free.
Yeah, so what's the problem with that?
No, I mean, my boy paid for 2 months of the subscription to watch one show.
Right.
And that show is now free. You don't have to have a paid subscription to watch it.
Yeah.
No, but don't you... That's the opposite of... wouldn't you feel gypped? I mean, I didn't pay the money, but...
I'd be totally jerked, but doesn't that stuff happen all the time?
Yeah, I guess. But I feel like this is an exception because everyone's home. Let's get them in front of the screens to watch Picard or... It's Star Trek, so I'm sensitive, okay?
I guess. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I hear you. It's a really interesting time because I imagine the executives at all these streaming services are hotly debating, like, what's better? Do we want to quick get everybody hooked on our amazing product while they're all watching? Or do we want to quick make a buck while everybody's bored and looking for something to do?
Right.
If I was the executive, I would pick the first one.
Yeah.
Get them hooked, get them in the habit, get them signed up.
I guess because there's commercials before each one about the, you know, the other stuff on the channels and
that
you could watch. Anyway.
All right. Anyway, moving on. I have some movie news.
What?
Remember Ryan Gosling?
Do I ever?
Go on. So, remember that movie, The Martian, which I believe starred, was that DiCaprio?
Matt Damon. Or
Matt Damon, right? Yeah.
DiCaprio.
Like I said, it starred Matt Damon.
It's a Scorsese film.
From Disney. Anyway, the guy who wrote The Martian is named Andy Weir, and he wrote a book called Project Hail Mary. And Project Hail Mary was already scooped up by MGM and will star Ryan Gosling, who will also produce it. Gosling stars as the solitary astronaut who's assigned the critical mission to save the world. He'll produce with the producer of Mid-90s and executive producer of The Favorite. I don't know. This was probably not that big of a deal, but first of all, I love The Martian. And then second of all, I just love that, like, there's news about movies in the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's some glimpse that someday we're going to be back watching trailers and talking about movies.
Do you know if the book that he came out before this one, Artemis, is getting made into a movie?
I never heard of that book.
That was his... I don't know when... His Project Hail Mary is his newest one or not, but Artemis came out recently. Okay. And, I don't know. Anyway. I like his stuff, so I think that's good stuff.
So from Ryan Gosling,
all the way to Ryan Reynolds.
All the way to Ryan Reynolds.
Now look, this is a Netflix news, right? And normally we're short on news, but I wanted to put this on here because I thought it was interesting. Do you remember the old arcade game, Dragon's Lair?
Do I ever? Loved it.
Go on. It was basically a cartoon that you just pressed like left and right at certain times. It was very, very, very hard. Anyway, Ryan Reynolds is in talks with Netflix to make a film adaptation of the game. Cool. I mean, it's basically a done story, so I don't understand, you know, why not. But the character's kind of goofy and makes mistakes. That's just Ryan Reynolds all over it. So,
yeah, I think that sounds great. At the end of the video, at the end of the movie, is it going to say game over?
It better be.
It better.
Yeah. I want audience interaction, and if everyone votes the wrong way, he dies. And the movie's over in 10 minutes.
Remember about 60 weeks ago, 58 weeks ago, we were talking about Tutankhamun, and our boy John Oliver wrote in, and we talked about watching it and playing it, I mean. And why were we talking about Tutankhamun? Was there talk that we were going to make that into a movie?
You were telling stories about the bodega that you used to look at magazines at.
Right.
And then you started talking about that you played Tutankhamun there.
Yeah.
And then I think that's just how it came up.
All right. So when they're done with Dragon's Lair.
Tutankhamun.
Tutankhamun, I'm saying.
The mummy movie we all need.
Finally. All right. I don't have news, but do you ever go to joeblow.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Joe Blow has an interesting new series that they just fired up called The Best Movies That Never Were.
Okay.
Or something like that. And what the stated purpose of this little segment is it's a little segment about movies that famously started but never got made.
Okay.
Right? You follow?
I follow.
So the first episode is James Cameron's rather significant efforts towards making a Spider-Man movie starring one Leonardo DiCaprio.
Not,
did you know about this?
Not Matt Damon.
I'm not. It might have been Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Or maybe it was Chrissy Affleck.
Yeah. I think I am kind of familiar with this, but I think most people would not be.
Yeah, I mean, apparently this project got pretty far along. It included storyboards and casting and artwork, and pretty significant work was put into it. Not really clear. There's no firm reason on why it didn't get made, but I think that'd be really cool. James Cameron's Spider-Man. I'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
It'd take him 17 years to make it, though.
Well, he could just put a pin in that Avatar project that he's got going.
He's so close to being done.
Yeah, I know. He's got like 4 years left.
Yeah. Well, he's got 4 years before the next part of the six-year part of it. So it's, you know.
So is he going to try to say that, shit, are they going to use this as a reason to push Avatar back further?
No. This is old. This is old news.
No. I don't mean Spider-Man. I mean, are they going to talk about, is James Cameron going to say the coronavirus is delaying Avatar again?
Probably.
What a jerk.
I mean, I don't know. What part of production is it in, honestly? Do we even have any clue?
No. Yeah. No, nobody knows.
Yeah. Is it still just, are they still just scripting stuff? Or I don't know. I don't know.
When was the last time you watched Avatar?
A couple years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say 2010. I'm going to say it's been 10 years since I watched Avatar.
I would say it's within the last 5 years I've watched it.
Yeah, that's impressive. All right, I hope people remember it when this mess comes out. All
right. Okay, so
I got some hard-hitting HBO news.
I've seen this, talk about this. I've seen this. It's pretty dope.
Right? Looks pretty good, right?
Yeah.
So General Hux.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Right. General Hux. Still my favorite part of Which one was the one where he goes in and he's paging Dr. Huggs and he's like holding and he's messing with him, he's trolling him?
The Last Jedi.
Last Jedi. I just wanted to see if I could get you to say Last Jedi.
Come on. I'm sitting here, I'm like, he can't, come on, how does he? Jerk.
I now have a new favorite segment.
How to get David to talk about The Last Jedi.
Twice in one episode.
Dang it.
I'm going to go for three.
There's an opening for it I see already, and I'm not going to let it happen.
Hey, you ever have that trick where somebody says their ice cream smells funny? And then you lean in to smell it, and the guy pops the ice cream, and he gets ice cream on his nose.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I did that to my friend in college one time. I don't want to say who, because I love him so much. Such a good friend. But I got him twice with the same ice cream cone.
So you did it, and then you came back and did it again.
I did it. We were walking back from the cafeteria back to where we lived, and we were both eating these soft serve ice cream cones. This is back when I used to have 3 or 4 soft serve ice cream cones a day.
Whoa.
Well, it was my job. I was in charge of cleaning the soft serve machine in college. I don't know if I ever told you that or not.
And you didn't understand that didn't mean clean it out.
Well, the first thing you have to do if you're in charge of cleaning the ice cream machine is empty it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm the guy for the job. You got the right guy. So anyway, we're walking down the street eating soft serve cones, and I set this trick up like he's talking and I'm smelling mine, and he's talking and I'm smelling my cone, and he's talking and I'm sniffing my cone, and then I start sniffing louder so I make sure that he sees me sniffing my cone, and then and then I go, hey, does your ice cream cone smell funny? And he puts a cone to his nose, and I get him right in the face. And then we have a good laugh, and we're all laughing and teasing each other. Oh, man, I can't believe you fell for that. Oh, it's so funny, blah, blah. And then we're walking, you know, and like a little silent, enjoying our ice cream cone. And then I go, whoa. No, but seriously, because Mike smells a little weird. Does your smell weird? And he goes, I think that's kind of like you with The Last Jedi. Let me see how many times I can trick you into saying.
Just thinking.
All right, tune in next week. I'm going to go for 4.
All right, so General Huggs.
General Huggs, his real name is Dommel something, right? What's his name?
I don't know.
But that cool blonde guy who plays General Hux in The Last Jedi, well, I guess in all the 3 Star Wars, he's making an HBO series with Phoebe from Fleabag. I think it's Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And they're making an HBO series called Run. And I just saw the trailer. I don't know if they just dropped it or if I just saw it for the first time today. But this series, Run, looks really good. It's about, I think it's a guy and his ex-girlfriend or maybe his girlfriend, but I think there's like a weird sort of twist there. There's some kind of tension, and I don't know. Seriously, he's a talented actor. We know that.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. And this series is called Run, and I hope it comes out while we're still on lockdown, because I'd love to watch it.
I think it comes out in April, so it does look really, really good.
So. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
But moving
Can you tell me anything about Rosario Dawson?
Yeah, Rosario Dawson. We all love her, right?
Isn't she like one of the most underrated actresses?
Yeah. I think
like when you think of your favorite actresses, she never comes to mind, but every time she's in a movie, she kills it.
Right.
Like in a good way. Like she crushes her role.
I think that she was on point to become like a megastar. And I'm thinking back like when she was in Rent and everything.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what happened, but she just like pulled back hard. And then all of a sudden she just started coming back as like in supporting roles, but not minor supporting roles, like major things, just really killing it every time she's on screen. Like, she doesn't half-ass anything. Like she does a good job.
I wonder if she had like an epiphany that she didn't want the life of an A-lister.
She might've, or maybe she had children or something and decided to back off for them.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, anyway, she's a compelling force, and you have some news about her.
Yeah, she's been cast as Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian, which also means that potentially she could show up in movies.
What?
Ahsoka Tano's like one of my favorite Star Wars characters of all time. So I'm pretty pumped that she's finally getting on the big screen.
I wish our listeners could see you telling this story. He's grinning, he's fidgeting in his seat. You have to make him stop. He sat on the cat. He's giddy. The only word here is giddy.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped for this. I'm pretty pumped for this. I think it's pretty cool. I like where they're going. So I hope that she has a multiple appearance role and shows up in movies.
Okay.
So that's my thing.
Fingers crossed.
So, all right. The website, we got this covered. So take this with a grain of salt because this website is questionable. Yeah. They allege that Keanu Reeves is currently in talks to play Johnny Blaze, that version of Ghost Rider, for an unspecified film in the MCU universe coming up here. So, potentially, we could see Ghost Rider. We could see Keanu Reeves playing Ghost Rider in an MCU film.
In a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope. Do you remember a few weeks ago, didn't I report on something stupid, and I may have even tried to play it off like I knew it was fake, but it was like fake news and... I'm sorry, Penn, could you be more specific?
Yeah. Which one of the things that you said?
Aren't we saying we got this covered? Is there any real news coming off that website?
I don't know.
All right. So we're just going to say we take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And that's that. Okay.
Yeah. Now, in news of things that are still going as planned, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is still on track and being planned to start filming remotely in June.
Dope.
Yeah.
Do you know where it's being filmed?
I don't. I would assume. Okay, but
regardless, that's got to be good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that works out there. But,
okay. No trailers this week, huh?
No. Lots of trailers for Netflix stuff, but no trailers for movies.
And new series and stuff like that. So podcast at PennCinema.com. If we missed anything this week, hit us up and let us know if there were any actual movie trailers that somehow missed our radar. I'll be impressed if there were, but I looked everywhere that I know to look, and I didn't see anything.
The only thing I found were like B-list horror films that were clearly going to video on demand.
Right.
So.
Right. They're not even good enough for PVOD, just straight VOD.
Yes. They're not even PVODs.
All right, so our movie review of the week.
Predestination.
Do you remember the movie good enough to talk about it? Because I just watched it. Like, I'm fresh off of it.
But I remember it pretty good. This week, when you texted me earlier this week and were like, what was that movie again? I wanted to talk about it to anyone I could, so I looked up the wiki just to make sure I had it straight in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty familiar. So okay.
So walk us through the premise.
This movie's crazy. Should I just walk through the plot?
Please.
Let me ask, how easily did you follow this film?
Here's what I did, and I'm being totally serious. Do you remember that movie Seven Monkeys with Brad Pitt, or 19 Monkeys, or whatever that movie was?
Yeah. But it was Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. You know.
Whatever.
details. But you remember the crazy movie. And wasn't there time travel in that movie?
Yeah.
Okay. When I watched that movie, I was not really paying attention. You know what I'm saying? And I was kind of like watching it. And then all of a sudden there was like something else going on. And then there was like stuff that didn't make sense. And like, oh, like what? The thing burned down? Or wait, no, it didn't happen. I thought it happened. Or we saw it happen. I didn't know what happened. So when I watched this movie, I had the opposite experience.
Yeah.
I watched it alone in my living room while the rest of the family was asleep, and I had captions on.
Wow.
And if my cell phone dinged or if I needed to get another cup of coffee, I paused that shit.
Because you knew.
I did not want to look away for a second or miss anything. So I did a couple times, twice in the movie, I stopped it to think about what were the implications of what I just saw.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I did not have any trouble following it, but I get why you're asking the question.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. Yeah. I this is one of those movies that when I'm with people who are kind of like, we don't have much to talk about, I'm like, let me tell you a story.
Oh, perfect.
And it always comes around. They're like, wait, that's not the crazy part? Like, it gets crazier. So we've got a girl, and she was abandoned at an orphanage. And
like as a baby, as an infant.
As an infant, yeah.
Right.
And she's kind of a tomboy, and she grows up, and she doesn't really make friends because she doesn't want to start a family and have a kid and have it not have a good life like she did. So eventually she gets older. She wants to become an astronaut. But she
doesn't.
Yeah. It's the 70s and she can't. Or is it the 60s? Whatever.
It's the 70s, I believe, when she's in the... Yeah. No, you're right. It's the 60s. Yes.
Yeah. So she tries to go to space. But they're not taking females to space at the time, except for this is like a weird version of Earth. And they're looking for females to be basically pleasure companions for...
hookers.
Yeah, for the astronauts on the spaceships. Yeah, hookers for the astronauts. Right. So she applies for that, and she's rejected for an unknown medical reason. They won't tell her why. Huh?
Yeah, an undisclosed. Not that they won't tell her why. They just tell her she's out because she got in a fight.
Right.
They trick her.
Right. Yeah, so she goes back to school and just tries to go to college or whatever. She's upset with the world. Then one night she's leaving class and she walks out and she finds a man who says, "Hey, I'm waiting for somebody." And she's like, "Oh, well, while you're waiting, why don't we hang out?" And they hang out and she connects with this guy like she's never connected with someone before. And they basically have a shindig, one night stand, and he disappears. Basically tells her he'd love her forever, and he's out.
Is that what the kids call it now, a shindig?
Yeah. I'm pretty hip with the kids.
I want to know that so that if I get invited to a shindig, I can be like, whoa,
I'm a married man. So anyway, the guy leaves, and she winds up preggo.
Preggo.
Yeah. But there are some... What is it? She in a fight or a fire? There's just complications with the pregnancy.
Yeah, right.
Something happens.
Yep.
And she's in the hospital, and they got to do a C-section. They got to take the baby out. And there's problems with her lady parts, so they're going to have to remove that, or she'll die. She'll bleed out.
Right.
And when they're doing that, they find out that she's intersex. So she's has the male parts in her. So they forcibly start a sex change on her.
So she's a man and a woman all at once, biologically.
Right. Which happens.
And then when they remove the baby, they also remove all the female parts, and now she comes out of having given birth as a man.
Right. Well, they start the they say it's going to be several surgeries.
Right. But,
Right. So she starts...
In the big picture of things, she goes into the birth as a mom.
Right.
And comes out of the birth as a man.
As a man. Fully functional. Well, right. Yeah. So then fast forward a couple years, and Ryan Reynolds is a temporal police officer.
It's not Ryan Reynolds.
Ethan Hawke. I pulled a pen. Oh, my gosh.
General Hux.
Yeah. So Ethan Hawke is a bartender.
Right.
And this girlish man comes in, and it's very clearly the girl done up like a guy, and she's...
What's interesting is we first meet the bartender / man at the bar.
Yeah.
Much before we learn any of the stuff that you just told us.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, sorry.
At the beginning of the movie, the man who, I will say, you know, once you start getting into the story, he has some feminine qualities, not really, but sort of. And then he says to Ethan Hawke, do you want to hear a story? Or something. Ethan Hawke strikes up a conversation, and the guy says, I got the best story you'll ever hear. He tells him the story, and then it's at this point in the movie, it flashes back, or it sort of comes back to the bar. It goes from storytelling to the bar.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
So he reveals that, okay, the man that came into the bar is the girl, and that she, as of today, is now, the doctors have said she's fully functional man.
Right.
And the transition is complete.
Right.
And she writes stories for the paper, like under a pseudonym.
Right.
And so at this point, Ethan Hawke reveals he's a time agent, and he says, your story's crazy, but what if I gave you a chance to change your life? If you go back, and if I take you back to the moment where the man met you and you stop him, then you can go back to your regular life. But if you can't kill him, then you have to take my place as a time agent, and I'll retire and you'll go into service. So he goes to his time machine and he takes him back, and they're at the college the night that she met him, and he's outside waiting. And this is where the reversal comes. Turns out that he is the man that she met when she came out at night. And he says, I'm waiting for somebody, because she's waiting for the man to kill. Meets herself, fall in love. They go to a shindig, and then he has to bounce because Ethan Hawke's like, you couldn't do it. So now you got to take my place. You got to leave. You got to leave her. You got to leave yourself. So now, she impregnated herself. That's the story here. And Ethan Hawke's like, all right, I'm going to retire, and you're going to take over trying to hunt down this guy who's setting off bombs throughout time. And she's like, okay, all right, whatever. Well, Ethan Hawke retires and discovers that they didn't dismantle his time-traveling device. And then they kind of leave that, and that... The girl now guy goes on missions, and she winds up on this mission where there's a bomb that she can't stop it from exploding, and explodes in her face, and she comes out of surgery, and they're like, she says, this is the moment where not even my mother would recognize me anymore, and they unravel, and she's Ethan Hawke post surgery. So now she's Ethan Hawke. So now we flash to Ethan Hawke, who is retired. He goes back in time, steals the girl's baby, goes back in time more, and drops her off at the orphanage, completing the circle that she is her own parents. Am I blowing you away here, Penn? I mean, you saw the movie, so I can't be blowing you away too much. It gets better. Because it's all about closed loops, right?
Right, right.
So once she finds this out, she goes on like, I'm going to get him. And she goes hunting him down and finds that future herself, Ethan Hawke, is the bomber, the time bomber, who's saying these bombs will save time and you need to make a different decision than what I did and don't kill me. But Ethan Hawke kills him and walks out. Thus... completing the loop of not only giving birth to herself, but also killing herself.
That's some deep shit.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, I thought it was really wild. The correct answer, there's a sentence that you could write.
Yeah.
And like to pose a certain question, and the answer to that question is always yes. And the question is, so are you saying that the baby is really the girl? Yes. Are you saying the girl is really Ethan Hawke? Yes. Are you saying Ethan Hawke is really the man? Yes. Is the man also the baby? Yeah. Like, they're all the same person.
Yeah.
And they interact with each other via time travel. And I thought it was not only fun from a sense, like the way you and I like to kid around about time travel, but also I'm a big fan of like mythology and, you know, some storytelling and stuff like that. I love the concept of like killing your former self to give rebirth to a new self and, you know, all of us being one, you know, the eternal one, which brings you back to like the Matrix trilogy, you know, and sort of some of those mythological elements to that story as well. Predestination is nowhere near as good as Matrix. and frankly, it's not a great movie, but the story is so interesting.
Yeah.
It was totally worth it watching, and I loved it. I definitely recommend Predestination to anybody who wants to win or wants to see it. Did you see the little note? It comes up at the beginning of the movie when Ethan Hawke first comes to in the laboratory, and there's like these two inspirational quotes on the wall. And one of them says, "Never do yesterday what should be done tomorrow." And I thought of you right away because I was like, that's an interesting play on words there.
That's something you would say.
Right. And then did you also notice that they did something I've never heard before as it relates to storytelling with time travel?
Okay.
They identify a point zero. So in other words, the zero point in time, which is the ability to travel through time, is limited by 53 years before or after zero point. And zero point is 1981, which is the year in this movie when time travel was invented.
Okay.
So I feel like if Predestination was a bigger commercial success, we could have Predestination 2 and learn about what happened in 1981 to trigger those. You know, I'd like some origin story around these temporal agents.
Right.
I think it'd be really cool.
I guess it's like hinted at that the whole thing was organized by the temporal agency to make up the perfect agent.
Right.
Perfect circle. A paradox that eliminated itself.
There's also an interesting, I don't want to say religious element, but a spiritual element. You know, there's the concept in terms of God's plan where they say, like, you can never be, it's like the lyrics to the Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love." You can never be anywhere except for where you are.
Right.
Like, nothing can be except for exactly as it is. And it's sort of that same, this movie rubbed up against the concept of, like, if you prevent some bad things, then you prevented that bombing, but that allowed some other even worse things to happen.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, sort of an interesting concept.
Yeah, I really enjoy this movie. It's a hard one to get people to sit down and watch because it's not a mainstream film. And
it's not a movie that you want to watch with a bunch of friends, like hanging out and eating snacks. And, you know, like it's a movie where you need to be able to focus on the movie.
Right.
But if you're in the mood for something like that, I strongly recommend it.
Well, I'm glad you liked it because I was like, yeah, what if he doesn't like it?
No, of course. So.
All right, well, let's move on to listener notes and stuff. What do we got here?
Well, Chris Hall Productions told us we should watch Cats, which I thought was a great idea until I saw that I was going to have to pay $12 to do it, and then all of a sudden I lost interest.
So what do we say we watch Cats when we don't have to pay to see it?
There you go.
Yeah, I like that plan.
So here's the thing. Speaking of watching Cats, those of us that run movie theaters are now pretty firmly of the opinion that movie theaters will be able to reopen before we have new movies coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to show? That's the question.
That's what's on everybody's mind.
Yeah.
So I think I saw some stuff online about people watching certain marathons, like take your favorite franchise and watch the whole franchise and stuff like that. My hope, and I keep telling this to people in the hopes that it, you know, you speak it enough into that it actually comes true, is I hope that, and I think they will. I think the studios will develop some national marketing campaigns to support some of their older movies and bring them out you know, for special purposes or whatever. But I mean, we're going to have to get creative because I think we will be back showing movies before we have new movies. So it's a big question that a lot of people are kicking around. And I wonder, I mean, Cats was no good, but there'll be other movies that, like, we all saw maybe over Christmas time that'll be coming back to a multiplex near you at the end of April.
I think Chris Hall Productions also in his email recommended bringing back Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great idea. I think absolutely.
The big shots.
Yeah.
So we have a note here from The Shadow that he liked Bloodshot. We may have mentioned that last week, but not sure. But I guess he got to check it out, said it was a decent action flick. Do you have to accept what it is for what it is?
So I have a funny story. I went to the theater to do my job, and part of my job is to power up. You know, we've been closed. You don't want to leave, you know, $1 million+ worth of equipment just sitting there. You got to power it on, you know, a couple times a week and let it run and, you know, sort of exercise it, if you will. Exercise the gaskets, as Amy likes to say. And so I did the other day, and it was interesting because I think we've talked on the show before about keys. We get digital keys that open films and then lock them down. Mm-hmm. And when I was setting up the booth, I thought to myself, oh, I'm going to watch Bloodshot. But the keys are required.
Oh, come on.
So I ended up watching The Hunt.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It was good. It was, no, it was good.
Was it
I'm saying, like,
was it
you
funny?
Know, it was good. What?
Was it funny?
Yeah, it was pretty self-aware, you know, it made fun of itself. It was gory as hell, but it was a little bit kind of like cartoon gore, you know what I mean? It wasn't like hard to watch. It was like, oh, that guy got his head blown off, you know?
Yeah.
But my point is, like, I kind of wanted to see Bloodshot, but for me, it does not fall into the category of, like, I'm going to pay $20 to watch it at home.
Right.
So...
All right, so Joel Codes, he says, why don't we pick a movie that we've maybe missed in the past year, a couple years ago, that we really want to watch and review. So
David,
what,
you gonna stand for that?
What,
you're gonna let somebody write in and suggest that we have missed anything?
I know, I've personally,
nothing can buy us.
Yeah, I think we've seen it all. Like Bloodshot.
We've seen it all, baby. Come on.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, we just did it with Predestination. So now, I mean, that was for me. So this week you should pick one.
All right, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Moonstruck?
No, but I think I own it.
All right, let's talk Moonstruck.
Okay. All right. Moonstruck.
Moonstruck, starring Nicolas Cage and Cher.
It's one of your favorite movies.
This is consistently, I rearranged the order, but Moonstruck is consistently in my top three all-time favorite movies.
Whoa, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
I'm
down. And it takes place in Brooklyn, in a part of Brooklyn where I went to school, so you get a little taste of where I grew up.
Is this movie based on you?
Yeah.
Cher playing you?
Yes.
Wow. So Moonstruck next week. Joel Codes also says, regarding Penn with Dune.
No, I don't think he said that.
I'll believe it when I see it.
No, he
totally did. Yeah, he did.
I think I interrupted you. What did he allegedly say?
Regarding Penn with Dune, I'll believe it when I see it.
Believe what?
Because last week you said that you and Marley had downloaded the audiobook, right?
Right.
And that you were going to listen to it during this quarantine, which, I don't know, I'm down here looking at all the things you did this week. Oh, man, lots of things listed here. No, dude. That's so
weird.
Can I
admit something even worse?
What's that? You deleted it for something else?
No, nothing like that. It's not worse. It's just even more pathetic. All right, I'm just going to, because we're friends, right? Just between you and me, dude.
Okay, I won't share this with anybody, don't worry.
Yeah, don't tell anybody. This morning when I came downstairs and the rest of the family was asleep, I thought to myself, this would be a great time. It was a cold, rainy, gray morning.
Yeah.
Coffee machine works, right?
Perfect.
Toast, we'll have jam on it. And I thought to myself, this would be a perfect cozy time to curl up and start reading Dune. I got the book out. I did. I got the book out, carried it to the living room, went into the pantry, started making some coffee, came back out, and I was like, I mean, I guess I'll just see what's on.
I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything before I get started on this book.
Right. Next thing I know, I'm watching Predestination, you know, and looking for cats. And, you know, I don't know. One thing led to another. And next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Man, can't even believe it. Time flies.
Time flies.
There's always tonight, I guess, right?
There's always tonight.
All right. Well, let's get into the things we have been doing during all this free time.
All right, you go first.
So I'm still very much enjoying Westworld, season 3. It's going great. I finished up Picard, which I'm okay with. I actually really like the ending. I know that some of my friends are not going to, so I'm just preparing myself for the arguments. But
let me ask you something about Picard.
Yeah.
Do you is that a series or is it like a standalone thing or what is it?
It's a series. It's him. He's playing himself in his 90s, I think.
Okay.
As a retired admiral, and then Star Trek stuff happens.
And when you say you finish it, you mean you finish this season or is it like done? What do you mean?
The first season is over and they've signed it on for 2 more seasons,
okay.
Which I wish I hadn't known because it would have made the last episode a little bit more weightful, but
right.
What do you
do? Yeah. Have you been seeing Patrick Stewart on Facebook?
A little bit. Why?
He reads a sonnet every day.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
It's freaking brilliant. You gotta follow
I'll
him.
I'll have to check it out. And then the final thing I've been doing mostly is The Expanse. You guys, if you've been listening to the show, I've talked about reading the books. I started watching the show on Amazon. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, the books are better, but the show is very faithful in what it does. And I think I'm in season 3 already because I'm just loving it. It's like all I can watch. So.
Nice.
Check out The Expanse.
All right. Well, you know how they say, like, during times of crisis, you learn things about yourself?
Yeah.
All right. So I've learned something about myself during this recent global health crisis.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Are you sitting down?
I am. I've got the cat right here. Oh, she ran away.
All right. What I've learned is that unless it's a comedy, like a sitcom that I'm watching with my family.
Yeah.
I want to watch a movie. I don't want to watch series.
Okay.
Like, I have not really gotten into any of these series. I've started a bunch of them, and I always watch like 1 or 2 or maybe 3 episodes, and then I kind of get bored, and I find myself fast-forwarding the episodes to see what happens, but I'm not genuinely enjoying the show. I'm just curious what's going to happen to the main characters.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Okay, so I've been watching a ton of movies. But before I get into movies, I'll just say the girls and I, we put together an incredible puzzle of the Sistine Chapel. This was a 2,000 or 3,000. So it was a 1,000-piece puzzle. And it took us literally like the first 10 days of quarantine to put this thing together. It was massive.
Wow.
And then Kayla took the lead on a Mr. Rogers puzzle, which we also put together. And all 4 of us have been really enjoying Veep. I think we're into season 4 now. Love that show. But in terms of movies, I do have a new opinion.
Okay.
One night, a couple nights ago, we watched 3 movies in a row.
Wow.
It was great. We were up till the wee hours. We continued along our review of the Vacation franchise.
Okay.
I think I told you last week that we watched the original Vacation. And then we watched European Vacation into Christmas Vacation. And then we watched Baby Mama, the Tina Fey movie.
All right.
Are you familiar with Baby Mama?
Oh, I'm familiar.
Yeah, that's a fun movie. That's a really fun, underrated, good, fun, clean comedy movie. And of course, we know that Christmas Vacation, along with Moonstruck, is on my list of all-time favorite movies.
Right.
Consistently in my top five of best movies ever. But I have a new opinion. European Vacation?
Yeah.
Not so much.
You don't care for it?
No, no. None of us did. We were all kind of on our phones and kind of bored. And like, it was a little bit funny. I mean, you love Clark Griswold no matter what. But, and there were some funny shticks or whatever, but there was no, like, it was just, it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
I don't think you're alone on that opinion. I think that's I think that's a common European vacation. Is not as
if it was the Star Wars franchise, it would be kind of like what would the analogy be? Like European Vacation is to the Vacation franchise as what is to Star Wars franchise. What? How would I?
The one that comes between.
All right. I also rewatched Bohemian Rhapsody, which we all loved. I find that an incredibly inspiring movie. Also rewatched Fight Club, which I hadn't like sat down and watched in a long time. That's a great movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, it's very entertaining and lots of fun, but it's also I think it's also pretty deep. I think there's a lot to it. I think it's a really rich movie.
Edward Norton is my favorite actor. I don't know if I told you that. Yeah.
I don't think he was even in The Last Jedi, though, was he? But still. Anyway.
He was in Alita, so that makes up for it.
I watched two new movies I want to tell you about.
Okay.
I watched that movie on, I think it was on Amazon, but it might have been Netflix, called Blow the Man Down.
Okay.
Pretty sure it was on Amazon. And I loved it. It takes place on a coastal town in Maine, up in New England. And it's about these two sisters. And it's kind of like, you know how Thelma and Louise, at the beginning of Thelma and Louise, one of them kills the guy in the parking lot because he's trying to, like, come on to her. And she doesn't really want to kill him, but he won't take no for an answer, and he ends up dead.
Right.
It's the same kind of beginning to this movie. But... It's just a great movie. It's really well done. It's beautifully shot. There's a lot to it. So I just sort of recommend Blow the Man Down. I don't know if I loved it just because I'm sort of biased toward – I love movies that take place in New England. I just thought it was a great movie. It doesn't really star anybody significantly famous per se. But really, you just fall in love with these two sisters and you're rooting for them, and they get in way over their head and they make all kinds of dumb mistakes. And but it's really it has a little bit of flavor. Remember Fargo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It has a little bit of that flavor. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like the sheriff is like a nice guy trying to figure out where this guy got killed or disappeared or whatever. And they all know each other. They all went to school together and that kind of thing. The other one that I watched was a beautiful movie. I forget if I watched it on Netflix or Amazon, but it was Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Okay.
You remember talking about that trailer a while back?
Is that the
one? It was.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was released by that studio, Neon.
It's the one with the guy, the kids in the bombing at the.
No, Portrait of a Lady on Fire is a period piece. It takes place in, I think, the 1700s. I forget if it's Ireland or England or something like that, but it's over in Europe somewhere. And it might be France. And the movie's in French with English subtitles.
Okay.
It's a beautiful movie. It's one of those movies, like, I think I watched it the other morning. It's very quiet. Like, it's these long, like, pensive, you know,
yeah,
pauses in the dialogue and everything like that. They show the two characters going for these long walks, and but somehow it reminded me a little bit of Brooklyn, that movie called Brooklyn.
Yeah. Motherless Brooklyn, you mean?
What's that?
Motherless Brooklyn?
No, Brooklyn, the one with Sasha.
Saoirse.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It was like a artsy love story.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
This is a total, like, love story drama movie. It's not a thriller or a murder mystery or anything like that, but just a beautiful movie and a real moving is sort of the only word that's fit for it. So I highly recommend Portrait of a Lady on Fire and Blow the Man Down, two movies that are out right now. I think they're both Amazon, but killer movies. Oh, Hulu. Portrait of a Lady on Fire was on Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, that's what I've been up to. Lots and lots of movies. I watched other movies too, but you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, another movie I watched called that I need to tell you guys about is The Platform.
Okay.
I wrote it down in my notes. Have you seen this one?
No. What's this about?
Oh, this movie is crazy. It's a very like a high concept type of a movie about the haves and the have-nots.
Okay.
And you just got to check it out. It's a little bit hard to watch. It's gruesome, like gruesome.
Oh yeah, you texted me about this. Yeah, I need to check this out. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta like turn your eyes a couple times. You're like, watching it through your hands, but it's a powerful story it's about this jail, or they call it the hole, and these two guys are at the beginning of the movie. These two guys are on a platform, and they have to share whatever food comes along. And I won't give the movie away, but it's a powerful statement about class inequality. And I think it's a powerful movie. It's another one that you have to watch with subtitles.
Wow. Cool. All right. Well, next week we're going to be talking about Moonstruck. And we'd love to hear from you guys about what you've been watching, doing, or if you have any questions about the movie industry and what's currently going on with it now, or any general questions. We could always talk about that. You can email us at podcast@penncinema.com. If you want to support the show, the best way to do that is to phone up a friend.
Bumper stickers.
Phone up a friend and tell them about the show. And The Last Jedi. Penn's old double sign, it's just a big sign, just said The Last Jedi. So...
Hey, I have an idea, though.
Yeah.
I have an idea, though. So this week we reviewed or we talked about Predestination or whatever the name of that movie was. Next week we're going to talk about Moonstruck. Yeah. After that, let's have you guys write in some suggestions.
Yeah.
Podcast@cinema.com. Tell us what we should watch, and if enough people pick the same thing, or if you suggest something that captures our imagination, and I'll even take stuff off people's favorite movie, you know, because there's people always think that I've seen every movie because I watch a lot of movies, but you might be surprised. So if you have a favorite movie that you just love and you're not 100% sure if I've seen it or David has seen it, go ahead and suggest it, and maybe we'll watch it with you, unless it's Tusk.
Or cats, apparently.
Or cats.
Yeah. All right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.